just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 529. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined on this hot and muggy and sticky day by Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hello. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this on hot days at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. On the show today, we have Capital T Theater and their production of Robert Mueller's Greatest Hits, both Volume 1 and 2. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Ground Floor Theater and their show Transom. And of course, we will have lively discussion in the world of theater here in Austin, New York, Denver, and Teaneck, New Jersey. Stick with us. All right, I'm just going to fade it right out because it's in the middle of a dance break.
It is a dance break.
It's a dance break. Nicole
so
Shiro.
Why did you choose that song?
Why did I choose that song from Pretty
Sorry,
Woman?
Yeah, sorry, but you all right, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, because it is...
I'm curious.
It is closing.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's one of the five shows that are closing last week and next week.
I know, that's why I was just surprised you chose that song.
I know, well, you know I was going to get to that. So, is that your check-in? Is that all we're going to say to you
no,
right now?
No, I'm sorry. I'm here. Hi. My cousin Robert, my Irish twin, is in town from Jersey.
Robert, the Irish twin?
Robert, my Irish twin.
Robert,
yep, we are
that.
6 weeks apart. And
I call him Bob.
He arrived from the Jersey Shore, and he's like, it's hot.
Yeah, it is.
I was like, yes, it is.
It is. It's 100.
He's like, it's really
hot. It's 100
hot.
Zillion
like,
degrees right now. Well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here in the studio with us, shall we?
We shall.
Mark Bickell, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we love having you here. Appreciate Ken Webster, first time on the show.
My first time was actually in 1957.
I think it was. I believe
we
I was.
Wheel him out from underneath the cabinet every once in a while.
That's true. Siri Gurudev. Hi, Siri. First time on the show.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Jess O'Rear, the one, the only.
Hey there.
Hey there. Oh. With style and
Jess
grace.
Jess gave me a Jersey fist pump over there when I said Jersey.
Yep.
So.
It's
yep.
obligatory.
You have to do it. I know. It made my day.
I just found out exit 14.
Oh, 98.
yeah, Garden State Parkway, meet New Jersey Turnpike.
No, that's Parkway.
98 is Parkway?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right, sorry. I didn't think... Okay, because... Never mind. So, my mind is going to maps, and anyway.
We can have that conversation later.
Yeah, we can indeed. So, yes, indeed, I played that song because we... lots of shows closing or closed. Last week we lost, let's see if I can remember which ones were which. King Kong and, oh no, Prom and Be More Chill.
Yes, I was like, I don't think
they
the
closed
Kong
last
is closed
week.
Yet. I mean, he is just like hanging on to the top of the Empire State
Kong
Building
is
for
closing
life.
This Sunday.
I know.
King Kong, Cher, and Pretty Woman closing this Sunday.
I'm just surprised Kong
dun, dun,
was
dun.
In that last bunch, to be honest with you. That's
what do you, why you're surprised that they hung, that the little ape hung on for as long as he did?
I am.
How long did he hang on?
Long time.
Long
actually.
Time.
Probably...
And they were having like $40. You could buy four tickets for $100 starting like December of last year. Oh. So I was kind of like, whoa. The fact that it just did. Listen, I saw it. The puppet's awesome. Not a great show, but the puppet is everything. But I still am surprised that it just. It went on and on and on.
The puppet is everything.
Yes.
That was the name of my third book.
I forget where he's going first, and then he's ending up in Japan. And I'm like, Japan is going to be all about the Kong. So
all
he's
right.
going to
so
a good place.
So we're not here to just talk about King Kong.
No, I was just, you know.
So we're going to move on to other subjects.
I was fiddling while you were
Oh, no, you didn't need.
Fiddling.
I was just waiting for you to be done.
Oh, I thought you were fiddling.
Yeah. No, I was not fiddling. I was just waiting for you to be done. But
yeah, no,
this
I
is...
was just rambling to fill
Okay,
time.
But this is for you. Maybe not.
See, it's not there.
What the heck is going on? Oh, because I pressed the wrong button. Oh, never mind. It's just so hard. Oh, I was trying to do dunk dunk.
I was like, am I getting crime, Law and Order?
You are. Dun-dun. You are getting crime. We're gonna get it
I
right
do
here.
Like my sound effect. Oh, there it is.
Okay, great.
All right, what's going on?
Well,
now?
You know our friend Mr. Sprechter, Bryn Sprechter of the Rebecca
fame. Rebecca. Oh yeah, this
back in the news.
This naughty. He's back in the news.
Back
for
in
bad
the news.
Things.
Very bad thing. So do y'all. So to refresh everybody's memory, although we've talked about it on ad nauseum here, Rebecca, the producers of Rebecca, were
Rebecca the
musical were involved in a huge lawsuit. That it was 6 years. They were fighting for 6 years. It finally ended, but the producer was arrested on child pornography charges, which he admitted to.
Yes, I know. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's very bad. I saw that. I'm like, this is very disturbing.
Yeah, so that's it. Lovely mugshot of Mr. Sprechter. I'll show the audience.
An old white man.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise. that is amazing. We did have a couple of openings on the Great White. Well, actually, not only just the Great White, but also the off Great White.
I was like,
white.
The off one, too.
Yep. So we're going to start with the with Bat Out O' Hell.
Oh,
poor Bat Out of Hell. We wanted that to live so bad. It got universally...
Oh, I watched a number from it.
So it did not do good. Alexis Sulawski of the New York Times gave it a pretty darn bad review. It says Bat Out of Hell is like its score, good bad, or bad good. Yeah. So it starred Lena Hall, Christina Bennington, Bradley Dean, and it was...
Sadly, the number I saw did not have Lena. I'm like, might have made it a little better.
Yeah, but maybe. It was written by Jim Steinman. He wrote book lyrics and music, and directed by Jay Scheib. Remember Earl Scheib? Anybody?
Oh, yes. I'll paint your car for $29.99.
Yeah, maybe it's his brother.
Oh, that was epically awesome. Thank you both.
Yeah, so he said, she said that his book is a banquet laden with cheese.
Yeah, it didn't, yeah. The one young kid, he was like nails on a chalkboard.
So it's sort of like they equate the storyline to Peter Pan. But it takes place in a dystopian future. And it says, how dystopian is it? Let's just say in this version... Tink dies. Clap all you want, kids. Tink is dead. Poor thing. We wanted that to... I kind of wanted it to work.
I've watched it since it's the England loved it. It was only supposed to be in its little run in Liverpool, and people went bananas for it. And so they moved it to the West End, and people went bananas for it. But I knew it wasn't in a good place when it went on tour and then got...
Yep, it got yanked.
And then totally canceled. And then, no, surprise, we're going to do it now.
And didn't they
New
announce
York.
Broadway at one point?
Yeah, so it's just... It's had a hot mess of a time here, and I blame it on taking out the water scene.
I don't even know. Oh, the water scene, yes. So we talked about that a few weeks ago. There was a stunt involving a water scene, but they said that the stage at the city center couldn't hold.
And the union wouldn't let them.
But I think
we find that malarkey.
Yeah.
Because we saw a lot of water and some other stuff recently.
And you know, if we can do it here in Austin, Texas, they can do it at city center.
You can do it in New York.
Yes. So that was the one, that was one of the openings. And the other opening... on the Great White Way was Moulin Rouge. And I forgot, where do you sit on the idea of Moulin Rouge yourself?
Me?
Yes. I forgot, are you a hater?
Of the movie or the show?
Well, a little of both.
I hate the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Me too.
I know.
I find it ridiculous, and who cast Nicole Kidman to sing? Like, let's just start right there.
Okay. Well, I don't want to relitigate this, because we've done this so many times. I want to stop.
I tried to go see it in Boston. I couldn't get the chance. Uh-huh. I do love the cast. I'm curious by it, but it's not the top of my list. No.
Yeah, and it got...
I would not run to New York to go see it.
Did not get great reviews.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to. They changed a lot from what I've heard from Boston, and that's really where I wanted to see it, and I had my cousin Vinny's wedding, you know, and just family got in the way. And yep. I do have my cousin Vinny, and he does live in
so
Boston.
So do I, Nicole.
See? Fist pump.
Who doesn't from New Jersey? By the way, that is one of those movies that if it is on, I watch it.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Just love it.
Yeah. I love it.
Especially when she talks about the little idea. The little dough idea. Okay. Actually, I wasn't, you know, I said Moulin Rouge, but we talked about that last week.
I thought we talked about it last week. But
and I don't, and I was like sitting here searching for the review.
Really
couldn't find
love,
it. Wasn't
I thought it was last week, but I'm like, was, I'm in. You know,
no, you're right. You're right.
I do love the cast.
What I was trying to refer to was Seawall and a Life, which is the Jake Gyllenhaal.
So Moulin Rouge. I see the connection.
Tom
right
Sturges.
There.
So these, this is a pair of one act, one person plays that are put together in one, Seawall and a Life. It starts with Tom Sturges doing Seawall, and it ends in the second act with Jake Gyllenhaal doing.
I'm fascinated by this.
A Life. It's mixed.
But then
mixed
I, yeah, I know. I've seen, I saw a really great interview, and I cannot remember who did it. But it was with Jake Gyllenhaal, and you've got to see a lot of B-roll and really talk about the differences between Tom and his and the poetry. It's kind of fascinating, but yeah, I don't know.
According to this review, there didn't seem... I mean, there's... Other than both of the monologues dealing with family matters, there's not a lot
of
combining
substance.
Them.
Yeah.
And but the first one, Seawall, is a little depressing. Mm-hmm. And the second one is a little less depressing.
I was like, it's still depressing, but not quite as much.
Yeah. They loved the performances. But they said there was an odd thing when Jake Gyllenhaal enters and gets his entrance applause, which we all know how I feel about
thing,
that.
Oh, your favorite thing, Lisa.
And then jumps right into a kind of a joke that sort of falls flat because of his star turn entrance applause. Not his fault, but... it just seemed sort of odd. Mixed reviews, and let's see what some of the people said. Deadline's Greg Evans said, assuming the show's producers invite Tony voters to this strictly limited 9-week engagement, either actor could stake an early claim on next year's trophy nominations. And of course, that's a reference to Jake Gyllenhaal's last foray into Broadway. They did not allow Tony voters, so
no, they
were
did
not,
not
available. Well, they, I forgot what the number is, but they have to give up something like 300 or 400 comps.
Yeah, and
for
they
the
couldn't,
Tony voters, and it's expensive.
Yeah,
especially you know.
Wasn't it for Sunday in the Park?
It was, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was.
He's always in the park.
With Robert Hoffler of The Wrap said Nick Payne and Simon. Let me try that again. Nick Payne and Simon Stevens do their best respective one-act monologues no favors by putting them together on a double bill. Yikes. And finally, Marilyn Stasio of Variety said both plays take place on the same stone-cold set. Mm-hmm. Two levels of solid brick walls designed by Laura Jelinek and lighted with a beautiful bleakness by Guy Hore. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And the rest is left to the imagination in this stark production directed by Carrie Cracknell. Not rushing off to see it.
No, it was, I found all the interviews. I'm like, I'm fascinated.
Anybody know
by
anything about it?
Hit, miss.
Yeah, see, it seems like that would be right up y'all's alley.
Mark's a Simon Stevens fan.
I do like Simon Stevens.
Yeah.
Piqued my interest.
Does he like you?
We may be Facebook friends.
Who like isn't that. Facebook friends with you? That's a joke. So that's it. There was a wonderful article in the New York Times, I'm switching gears, about female producers.
Yes.
And how many there are coming up and what some of the things that they have to do to just be taken seriously, how much more that they have to work. A female producer who says they've got an investor, the go-to thought is she slept her way to get that money. It's not that she earned it the way that she was supposed to. So they have to work really, really hard. But it talks to a lot of producers. So the four shows that won Tonys, top Tonys this last season, three featured women as first bill lead producers. Mm-hmm. So as you know, these Broadway shows have like zillions of producers. And we had a lot of minor producers as part of The Prom and Hadestown here in Austin. But lead producers are typically guys, but not so much. I mean, you've got Oh my God, what's her name? Her. But then you've got Scott Rudin are probably the two most producers that come to mind. I'm going to come up with her name in a second, so don't worry.
Yeah,
she's in this article.
Yeah,
Daryl Roth. So Dale Franzen and Miss Isaacs. They always say the first name at the first, and then they never say the first name again. Mara Isaacs did Hadestown, and Sonia Friedman did The Ferryman. And Eva Price did Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That was just those. And there are, it's amazing to see the amount of women that are producing. Carmen Pavlovic, Moulin Rouge. Kristen Casey, American Utopia, which is a David Byrne concert show, open in October. Tally Pellman, Tina, the Tina Turner musical. Beth Williams, Diana, which we're going to talk about in a little while. Stacey Mindich, Dear Evan Hansen, Sue Frost, Come From Away. And then smaller projects, Diana DeMena is a producer of What the Constitution Means to Me. I wouldn't call that a small project.
I was like, that's in the smaller projects?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I, when I first read that, I said this, really? And Dori Berenstein is one of the producers, one of the lead producers of The Prom. So it's really a very interesting article in the Times. It says how they got where they were.
It was at the top article of the Artsy Blast for the week, too.
It was indeed.
Easy to find that way if you're a subscriber.
Yep.
To your e-blast.
But they talk about some of the things that they happen in meetings and just the things that they go through to get this done. But bottom line is they talked about Rachel Chafkin and their Tony nomination or her Tony Award speech, mm-hmm. where she said it's not just a matter of, oh God.
Why don't you have it memorized, Lisa?
I should because it's an amazing. It's amazing. It's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of being taken seriously, basically, is I believe what she said. I was hoping they talked about it in here again, but pretty amazing. There's a lot of work we have to do on a lot of different levels, not only gender parity, but racial parity and all that other stuff that we're working really hard to change.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so we're done talking about that. I'm just going to put that over here.
Throw it to the side.
And I'm going to go and look and see what else that's on my list that I want to talk about in the next few minutes, because we're not going to get to everything. I did talk about, and I forgot which is the Longacre Theater. Is The Prom at the Longacre, or is Be More Chill at the Longacre? I think Be More Chill.
I think
But
Be
the interesting
More Chill.
Thing is, The Lightning Thief, which is a Pulitzer Prize-winning play, is coming to Broadway in that theater. September 20th, it starts previews. Opening night is October 16th. Oh, sorry. It is not the Pulitzer Prize winning. I should never do anything by memory. This is the Perry Jackson musical.
Oh, yes. No, yes. There you go.
Yeah. And it is on a limited run. I believe it's directed by the Be More Chill director, Stephen Brackett. Choreography by Patrick McCollum. Produced by TheaterWorks USA. So that is interesting. And the other one that is coming into the same theater is Diana the Musical about Princess Di.
It's been out in the L.A.
It has. It's not looking so good. It opens on March...
I've actually read and watched once when you were... We read the review when you were gone 1 week from L.A. There was a lot of pictures... She strikingly looks like Diana. It's creepy.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot of great things about the show. Has anybody heard anything about it?
Nope.
Nope. Were y'all... I was not enamored by Princess Di at the time. I mean, I liked her and everything, but I wasn't crazy about her like everybody else was. Were anybody else Princess Di aficionados?
I liked her a lot, and I felt like we had a bond because she was married on my birthday.
She probably chose that for that reason.
I was actually living in London when she died.
Oh,
that has to be interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of like 9/11 in New York, just that feeling of sadness that it's kind of a...
Oh, it was tragic feeling of sadness. That day. Yeah,
it's kind of a weird feeling.
I was in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
I was at the Jersey Shore.
There you go.
I walked into the bar. I did. Yeah. I walked into the porch and I looked up on the TV and I was like, you guys! I made them turn it down to see what was going on. Yeah, I remember that.
The porch. So, it's not there anymore. This is the question that I have for you. Are you a Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dream?
No, I'm a Jesus Christ Superstar.
No, I know.
I do not like the Joseph.
Okay, well, so apples and oranges. It is possible to like them both.
No, I don't.
Okay. What about, how do other people feel about Joseph?
Not a Joseph fan.
Not a Joseph fan.
Not a Joseph fan.
Not a Joseph fan. Yeah, okay. I stand alone.
She likes it.
I stand alone. I like it. Well,
It's
been at the West End, and they're talking. I mean, I don't think it's definite yet, but they're talking about coming to New York.
I think it will.
I'm all for it.
The last time it ran, the Donny Osmond came in it.
Yep. Well, it's
he went on the tour with it.
There were two tours going on at the same time. One was Donny Osmond, and one was
Oh no, he did it back on Broadway before he went back on the tour.
Right. So there was the Donny Osmond, and then there was a I can't remember his name, but he was
wasn't he the
soap star?
Yeah, and he was also, didn't he do That's Incredible too?
My friend Sarah Miles was in that production.
Ooh,
with him, and I saw him in it. I did not see the Donny Osmond version. I hear Donny Osmond was awesome.
Actually, you want to know what? Donny was really good. Didn't still like the show, but Donny was good.
Yep. So
how do you not go see Donny Osmond?
It's the 50th anniversary of Joseph. You know, it was originally a concept album, and we sang it in my junior high school at Spring Branch Junior High School in Houston, Texas, in 1970. Whatever.
The choirs loved the Joseph.
Yeah, but that was before it was ever a show. I'm pleased that it's coming back. All right. One last thing that we're going to talk about before. Oh, I do need to talk about this because we're going to play a little. No, I'm not. Never mind.
You saw Hadestown announced a tour?
Yeah, Hadestown has announced a tour. It's coming to Houston. It's one of the cities announced. Hopefully it'll come here as well. But IMDb just changed its policy on publishing birth names through a lot of work with SAG-AFTRA and GLAAD. They're allowing transgender artists to change their names. So, because right now you can change you would be able to change your name, but it also kept your birth name in there.
So you'd have both names attached.
Yeah. Now they're taking the birth name out, but if you were credited in a show as your old name, they can't change those credits.
That's what I was going to say. How do you get the credits moved?
You can't change that. So that's. Because that's the way it was billed at the time. I don't think that they can change it. But anyway, it's a good move. IBDB hasn't done that yet. Because when I changed my name in IBDB, they have formerly known as in my IBDB page. But I think that's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear a little bit.
A little ditty.
A little ditty from another show that is closing. In my opinion, it shouldn't have opened, but it did. So let's listen to the Cher show.
I knew where you were going with this.
We'll be back. They say we're young and we don't. We are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air on KOOP. I'm here. I'm Lisa Sheps. I've got Nicole Shiro right next to me.
I'm here. I'm with you.
We've been having wonderful conversations.
We've been jazz-handing like nobody's business.
Of course, yeah, Nicole and I are like hogging the mic. We don't let our guests really talk, so it's really about us.
Isn't it about us?
Yeah. So let's switch gears and talk about somebody else. Let's talk about Capital T Theater's production of Robert Mueller.
Say that fast. Five
Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2. And we have here the creator, writer...
Everything.
Mark Pakel, as well as the artistic director of Capital T.
Hi.
And the star playing Robert Mueller, or Mueller, however you want to pronounce it, and the artistic director at Hyde Park Theater, Ken Webster. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well on this afternoon. Good.
So I've heard of this Robert Mueller guy.
Yeah.
Who is this creature?
He's the one that they named that area up north
the airport.
Here by the airport. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is this?
It came about just, I don't know, the last 2 years have been a little rough on me personally, and I was trying to find a way to produce something that seemed like it was meaningful and possibly informative and entertaining at the same time. So that's kind of the idea behind it. And it's a 400-page report. It's pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
So we condensed sections of it to try to give everyone who hasn't had an opportunity to sit down and read a 400-page government document the opportunity to kind of know what's in it and at least the highlights of kind of what's happening in it.
So do we watch this over multiple evenings, or is it one and done?
Yeah, one and done. Okay. About 2 hours total, including an intermission, and we cover volume one and volume two. So yeah.
Yeah. So no collusion, no collusion, whatever the other one was.
Yeah, and then...
No obstruction.
Yeah, I was looking, you know, I wasn't sure what form it was going to take, but then I roped Ken into this. And so Ken, I don't know if the viewers can't see him right now, but I think he could pass for a good Robert Mueller.
I'm going to just say that our viewers know what Ken Webster looks like. Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. So Ken, you're playing Robert Mueller.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Did you ever think
that would happen?
I didn't think it would happen this early.
He is about 10 years older than Ken.
Oh, that was a good answer, Ken.
He's actually 13 years older than I am.
There you go.
Sorry.
Let's be
real clear.
We need accuracy
right
here
now
on this show.
That's right.
I would think that this would be kind of a fun undertaking. Now, when I saw Mr. Mueller at the hearings, you know, and that's really the only time most of us really got to spend any time with him, he doesn't portray as the most interesting character in the world.
He's very Joe Friday, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. How does one approach that as an actor?
The version that we're doing, I'm reading things from the report.
Right. He wouldn't do that.
Probably not. It's kind of in his voice. Uh-huh.
I think you do a pretty good impression, actually. I've never really given many notes about the characterization of Robert Mueller. I think he does an awesome job, actually.
So this has got, Ken, you're playing Robert Mueller, and then you have a host of other local celebrities coming in and playing the other characters?
Is that the idea? So each night there's going to be four different actors who will chip in to portray Trump and Junior and the cast of characters that we've come to love over the last 2 years. So
yes, this first weekend it'll be Sarah Chong Harmer, Webb Jerome, LB Dio, and Michael Trejo.
Yay.
So do you are you rehearsing with all of them ahead of time, or is this kind of just on the fly a little bit every night? That makes it so interesting.
It's a mixture of rehearsing with just Mark and myself myself and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, I even kind of thought about maybe drawing to see who plays what.
That kind of fun nature about it.
So, but I will say that Ken is, we've been rehearsing. He delivers, I think, most of the information during the play. These other people will come in when they're quoted and, you know.
There's some great testimony that they get to recreate.
Awesome. I want to hear more about that, but I'm going to go on a little tangent here. Siri, could you do me a favor and choose a number between 2 and 53?
51.
51.
I don't think we had been in the 50s in a while. Let's see what it is.
All right, it'll be exciting. Here we go.
Hey, I'm Harry Connick Jr. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. And I'm telling you what, I never had more fun in my life. I'll hang out with these beautiful women anytime.
We are beautiful, aren't we?
You're right.
Harry Connick Jr. thinks we're beautiful.
Harry, we were beautiful. That was great.
So, Mark, did you indeed sit down and read the entire 400 pages before you decided to tackle this?
Yes, I can say that
I'm one of the few people that have actually read it all the way through. Yeah.
So how do you tackle that and stay focused? Because I would veer off at times, and I'm a reader.
Yeah, I think, well, the deadline helps, right? Having a deadline certainly helps. I don't know. It's been really interesting to me, and I've been following pretty closely things. And I felt like I wanted to read it anyway, and then I thought, well, this might be useful for other people to have the opportunity to come and learn more about it and maybe be entertained while they're sitting there. It's not an easy read for sure, but a lot of it actually, you know, it's quite funny. I mean, there'll be times where, like, it'll end with a paragraph, and I don't know if Mueller did this on purpose to be funny, but it'll end with Bannon suggested not firing Comey, and then the heading of the next one is Trump fires Comey. So there's some, like, There's nice. There's some built-in contextual kind of humor, I think. And I'm not sure if he did that on purpose or not, but I would
like to think if you had to write a report, you would do that.
So right? Now, the Mueller report, we all, wherever you sit, you have an opinion. One has an opinion. So does this piece take a side, or are you really just presenting the report?
I'm trying to be as fair as I can. You know, the first half, you know, and I include the information where, you know, they say basically we couldn't
prove
right.
We don't have evidence that these things, you know, rise to the level of a conspiracy. The second half is, I think, the volume two is pretty damning.
Opinion. I mean, it's and explicitly in Mueller's damning. Opinion. Yeah.
So yeah. So I try to not editorialize too much, but I think it's hard not to.
Yeah.
In some regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I can see that.
Yeah. And you would, but also I would assume that if you leaned in a way that you thought that there was no collusion and no whatever the other word is, what's the other word he uses?
Conspiracy.
No conspiracy. No collusion. If you had that opinion and you sat and listened to a objective reading, you might think that the piece slanted right versus left.
Oh, right. Well, I think to me, you know, what Nicole said about like, how do you sit down and do that? I think one of the issues is there's so much information. And really what it is like the bulk of the information, there's a lot of coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, like trying to keep, Ken and I have been trying to shave it down and make it presentable so you're not like hating us by the end and shortening it. And it's hard sometimes to shorten it without giving that kind of broad context of all of these interactions, especially with Russians.
Because this lines up with this and this, but you can't miss that piece.
Yeah, so if you kind of pull something out, then the picture's not as big as it used to be. So I think that's the
You're missing the domino and the chain effect.
So are you performing this in a... Is the set a conference room? What's the scenery? What are we looking at?
We have transformed Hyde Park into Americana, USA. So,
a lot of bunting.
Yeah. So,
a lot of red, white, and blue.
There's a lot of red, white, and blue. And it's going to be staged pretty simply as a stage reading with Ken at a desk and
okay.
The actors behind him.
Yeah. Cool. I wanted the Resolute desk, but that would be a different
show.
That
would
show. Be nice, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. You could redesign it.
Yeah, I'll do it tonight.
Well, awesome. When do you guys open?
Thursday.
Thursday. That's tomorrow.
Today? Oh, that's tomorrow.
Yeah,
yes.
That's tomorrow. How long do you play?
3 weekends, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Okay, and where can folks go to get more information?
CapitalT.org.
Yeah. And who... Am I going to bring my little kids to the show?
Oh, yes. What is the age range on this?
There's only one, only a couple of curse words.
Well, I wouldn't think there's curse one. Words, but I don't know.
There's context, PG-13.
I don't know if my 8-year-old's going to want to sit.
Oh, 8-year-old. Yeah.
They might be a little, I don't know. Maybe a little bored. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it is, I think people who are interested in politics, I think, are
sure.
have that.
Where could you find that person in Austin, Texas?
I don't know.
Well, great. We're thrilled that you are here. And I hope you have a great run. I know you will.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Yes, thank you for coming in today.
Our pleasure.
That was Mark Pickell and Ken Webster of Capital T Theaters. Robert Mueller's Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2, August 15th through 31st at Hyde Park Theater. More information, capitalt.org. And it was pretty easy to figure out which report song I would do.
Oh, okay. This is
the morning. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
It's nice to talk politics.
Or as Harry Connick likes to say, these beautiful
ladies. We're beautiful ladies. I'll take that from Harry Connick Jr. He was very charming.
He was charming. My friend, the gentleman I know, is tapping in a show on Broadway in December, but he's doing the tap choreography for it. Luke, remember when I was talking to Harry about Luke and you were like, why did you bring that up? And he was like, Luke
totally
is the greatest
remember.
Tapper.
I love Luke.
Yes, well, Harry thinks so too.
I like Laura as well.
Choreography. It's pretty cool.
Thank
cool
you, Ken. I knew there was one person that would get that
Luke
reference.
Luke and Laura, I got
Luke
it.
Luke and Laura. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening here locally. There is a reading. This looks fascinating. I think I might even be able to go to see it. Spectrum is doing a reading of Facing Our Truth, short plays on Trayvon, race, and privilege at the Dougherty. It's on the 24th on Saturday, and it sounds... It sounds amazing. So there's only one performance. It is on the 24th at 2 p.m. For more information, spectrumatx.org. And let me see. So the playwrights, so it's a bunch of little one acts. So the playwrights of Facing Our Truth are Latino, White, Middle Eastern, Asian American, and Black. It was inspired by the debates and nationwide protests that greeted George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman's acquittal, the killing of Trayvon Martin. That's what inspired it. Anyway, so it seems like something I would like to go see.
It's only one day.
It's only one day. More information, spectrumatx.org. You can get all the scuttlebutt on that show.
The deets.
The deets.
All the deets.
All of them. So let's just jump right into... Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have anything?
You can give me today in theater history. I mean... Yeah.
You want to talk about Anne? You're going to want to talk about Anne.
Oh, Anne is playing, yes. One Libby Villari is in Anne. I love that they're... It got me excited that y'all were doing this in Anne. I'm like, we're in this... motion of taking action, learning, doing stuff. But and the story of Anne Richards, written by Holland Taylor, is playing currently with Libby Villari over at Zach Theater.
Right. They were guests on the show last week. We had a marvelous time with them.
We had Ben. Ben was still giggling about that. He had a good time with
us. I like Ben.
He's a...
I'm just going to say
a
that.
Good director. But the two... closing ones. There are Trouble Puppet Friends that were on their show closes this weekend.
Correct. And they have been doing quite well over there at the Vortex.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So I was talking to some of the people that were involved in that show, and they're getting really good audiences at the Vortex. When they were at the Doherty, they weren't getting good audiences. And they think it's being in a theater on Manor, being at the Vortex, well known. And I'm sure the food trucks and the bar don't hurt things.
Right.
But I find that it makes me sad if that's truly the reason why they're going from sellout houses to empty house or vice versa. I don't know. Anybody have an opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like, yeah, Doherty, I don't know. I associate it more with, like, I don't know why. I've always just associated it with, like, children's productions and, you know, things like that. And they have kind of weird rules about what you can do there and what you can't do there. I mean,
and yet it's now SVT's home right now.
What's that?
That's Salvage Vanguard. That's their home right
now. Yeah. So I think it's, and there's limited things that you can do with the space. So, right. Yeah, I think it's different than a lot of, like, more open spaces in Austin.
Agreed. Agreed.
But it's cool that we have it. I mean, we need space. So it's cool that we
really
have it.
Didn't know. Yeah, it's true. And that we do need space. And we've talked on this show and other shows about working with city owned spaces. So Doherty, the Mac, the Carver, the Boyd Vance Theater, they just make it so very difficult to produce shows in there because of the amount of rules they have. And then Doherty has a whole nother layer of a rundown building
or
to go
big,
along with that.
Or that big, beautiful AISD theater that no one really gets to use.
Well, yeah. AISD does.
Not really, but they don't even really use it that often. So other people could use it. That's the problem.
Yep.
But you know.
But okay. The Vortex is the right vibe, I think, you know, for what Trouble Puppet is doing. I think that's...
Oh, it's totally... Yeah, it's a great combination of stuff. But yeah.
So they're doing well. So the last weekend for that.
Today in theater history.
Today
what
in
happened?
Theater history. Well, I'm going to go right to 1888 because that's the year I was born.
No. So we're going to say that was a good year.
This was the debut. You're a baseball fan, yeah. Ken Webster. Do you know what? Do you know who DeWolf Hopper is? Do you know who that is?
I don't think I do.
I don't know who DeWolf Hopper is. And
he debuts his dramatic recitation of Casey at the Bat.
Ah.
That was the first time.
Interesting.
It becomes a cornerstone of his act for the next 40 years.
Oh, it must have been a good act then.
Must have been.
It was a hit.
What else did he do with his act?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Apparently, he was really good at Casey at the Bat.
Clearly wasn't too interesting.
I mean, that
enough.
Poem's nice, but it's probably maybe, what, 10? 10 minutes long?
I would know. I only know. Yeah. I believe the first couple of lines.
It's vaudeville days, though, right? So you just 1888.
And
he probably had a bike in between and a little waka waka on the side.
He probably juggled while doing it.
There was some shtick that went along.
Some shtick.
In 1963, Carol Lawrence and Robert Goulet were married on this day.
Robert Goulet!
Carol Lawrence, of course, played West Side Story as Maria on Broadway.
What would Robert Goulet do?
It says he's just her husband. Doesn't have any other credits.
He really does not have Camelot fire?
It's got Camelot.
Oh, gosh.
He's Canadian and he was 5'10".
Okay. I like the Canadian part. I'm not sure about the 5'10" part. Is that are you saying he's tall or short?
5'10" is not short.
Okay. I didn't think that was short.
That'd be pretty tall next to me anyway.
It'd be very tall next to me.
2002. So this is an interesting one. Well, this is not all that interesting. This is
you really hyped it up though.
I was like, you let us up. Well, and
because
let us
I was at one place. I was in a different thing that we didn't talk about. A similar vibe. Anyway, never mind. In 2002, actor Stanley Tucci during Frankie and Johnny at the Claire de Lune at the Belasco yelled, "Would you shut your phones off for Christ's sakes?"
I remember that.
So this will we talk about this a lot on the show about.
He was one of the first ones to.
He was
to do it.
He
to
was,
get all
and it became a law in New York banning pagers and cell phones in New York theater.
I was like, that's how old it
I
was.
Believe,
you,
I believe
you
pagers
the word
are still
that
banned.
Was still in there. Pagers.
I had a pager, and I went to see. March of the Falsettos. Yeah, maybe it's March of the Falsettos. And my pager went off in the middle of like a really, like at the
tender
end of one
moment.
Of the ballads.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. It was
Were
terrible.
You a drug dealer?
I am a drug dealer. No, that is not true. 2003, Broadway and Off-Broadway and many regional shows are canceled because of?
Hurricane Sandy.
Blackout.
Oh, no, because Hurricane Sandy, you just said 2003.
I did say 2003.
Yeah, no, Sandy was later on.
Yes.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
That was awful.
2005, I totally forgot about this show, directed by Don Scardino, who I worked with in Cloud Nine, called Lennon, about John Lennon.
Oh, I remember this.
It was, Yoko Ono was a consultant. It took a lot of heat because it was very Yoko Ono-esque.
It was Yoko-centric. Yeah, I remember even the artwork. I can see the artwork right now of Lennon. And
Cast had Will Chase, Chucky Cooper, Mandy Gonzalez, Terrence Mann, and Julia Marnay.
I do love Terrence Mann.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Mm.
And then in 2012... Harrison, Texas, three plays by Horton Foote, is part of the off-Broadway season at Primary Stages. At 59 East 59, that's his plays that consist of three one acts, Blind Date, The One-Armed Man, and The Midnight Caller. In the cast, Hallie Foote, Jane Howdyshell, Devin Abner, and Jeremy Bob.
Those are some
Jeremy
names
Bob has
that are
two
amazing.
First names.
Yes. You know, my brother says never trust a person with two first names.
That's exactly.
I feel the same way.
Yes, he really does. He says it. He goes, "I'm sorry. I want to like you, but you have two first names."
That's a good venue for those shows, though.
Yep.
It's a great venue.
In 2016, Flyvish Finkel passed away.
16.
Yep. That was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was 93. You will recognize him. He was probably the last holdout of the old Yiddish theater days.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a whole bunch of productions of Fiddler on the Roof. Television viewers know him from Picket Fences, which I loved that show.
Oh my gosh, I was just talking about that show the other
day.
And
Boston Public.
I loved can't believe fences. You brought up Picket Fences.
I can't believe I did
we
either.
We watched a lot of the same TV for not agreeing on a lot of stuff that's weird.
But Picket Fences. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, love
Picket
Fences.
We've had a few today, like
and
Heart
Boston
to Heart.
Legal. Oh, yeah. Heart to Heart's great.
Oh, Boston All right. Legal. Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. Okay, so let's listen to this. There was not a cast album of Lennon, but one of the songs on Lennon that was not part of the well-known canon of his music is called Give Me Some Truth, and we'll listen to that. We'll be right back.
Dun dun. I'm sick and tired of hearing things. And we are back. I kidnapped Lisa. She's no longer here. I'm just kidding. Lisa's going to take a different role now because Lisa's suddenly turned into one of our guests today. We have the folks from Ground Floor Theater here and their world premiere new production, Transom. And
Yay.
Lisa, you are co-directing and starring in this, also not, acting. We are all starring.
Yes, I think you're all. This is an
ensemble
piece.
But I would like
piece.
To say all of you are stars in this show.
Yeah.
Because it is an ensemble piece. But let me introduce all of our guests that we have here today. We have Jess O'Rear. Hello, Jess.
Hello,
and Jess,
Nicole.
You are co-directing. Are you in the show also?
I am also in
That's
the show.
That's what I thought. Oh, all right.
We've made this as difficult for ourselves as possible.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you two both about that in a second.
Great. Oh, don't.
And now, and Siri, is it Gurudev, right?
Yes.
Did I get it right? Or Lisa's smiling.
Gurudev.
It's because I was saying.
Close enough.
No, it's not close enough. I need to get it right. And Siri, you are in the show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have. Is that all you're doing, or you have another role too? I feel like I know.
Well,
you're doing
we were
something else.
One of the ones that started like with the project.
That's what I
and
thought.
So yeah, we kind of like draft and write together.
Yeah, so we started this process in 2018, and we all got together to form this. And so we have the core group of creators, of which the three of us are part, and there are. I don't know the number, but like six or seven others that are part of the group that put the whole thing together.
It was almost exactly a year this week. I looked back at my email. Your email asking for collaborators came in on August 10th, 2018.
Wow, and that was my second attempt at it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, you weren't part of the first one.
I know that you have wanted to do this for a while. So, Lisa, what is Transcend? We're talking about all these collaborators and you folks are all in it, but what right. is this piece
Since
about?
We started Ground Floor Theater, I wanted to do a devised piece, which is starting from scratch and working with group Collaborate to come up with a piece that we would show. I've been wanting to do something like that at Ground Floor Theater since we opened in 2015. And so Transcend, and when we walked in, when we sat down for the very first time, I only came in with two requests, which could be overridden, but I wanted to not do a series of monologues like a Vagina Monologues or the Trojan Women. I'm going to equate our show to Trojan Women.
Wow.
Okay.
I was like, I like it.
And I wanted it to have a narrative. I wanted it to have a story. And it also is very important for me not to show the trans and non-binary experience as something that is like laden and heavy and difficult. I wanted to show trans experience from a point of view of how we all live our lives in this world with the same kinds of joys and sorrows that we deal with. And that's what I brought to the group. And then the group basically took over and it was amazing.
So when you, I'm going to ask, Siri, when you came into this and everybody was like, all right, we're going to do this thing and collaborate. Where do you go? How do you start? Did you have ideas or thoughts or from what you first contributed to where you ended, you know, I guess you guys are still contributing right now, but to where you ended right now.
We made changes yesterday.
Yeah, so that's why I realized, that's why I'm like, oh, wait, as I say that. But, I mean, how is that process and how does that feel? Because it's different than walking into a rehearsal where the paper and the script right. and the text and everything is in front of you.
Yeah, like, this is just not mine, but the idea that I had was, like, that to show the trans Ness is also intersectional, like that I am the person that is not from the US, that is not like a native speaker. And I was like willing to show how different we are, even though we share some stuff, you know. So I was interested in that.
That's exciting. And Jess, all right, you and Lisa are both wearing these double hats of co-directing.
Yes.
And
Jess
writing.
Is wearing some other hats too.
Yes. Okay. Oh, well, we'll talk about the hats. But see, Lisa can't hear you. How's it working with Lisa?
How's it working with Lisa?
Lisa's smiling.
It's a dream
it is
ballet.
A dream, Jess. We no, actually.
A dream ballet. I like that.
That's in the second act of the show.
Yeah, you have to stick around after intermission for that. That's Transom After Dark.
Transom After Dark.
TAD, we call it. It's a TAD talk.
That's funny. So, how is it from approaching it when you are directing and performing in the show?
It's an interesting experience. Working with Lisa has, I mean, when I say a dream, I'm really not hyperbolizing because, you know, we met for the first time when she called for collaborators. So it wasn't that we had this outstanding relationship. I just showed up as somebody who was interested in this, but throughout the process, I mean, we've really found that we are very aligned in terms of our aesthetics, our style, what we're looking for. So for as difficult as it is to hop between I'm in this scene and now I have to run off stage back into the house to watch what's happening to make sure that it looks the same way, we are able to trust each other in a way that I go, okay, if I can't make it out there, as long as I know that she's watching, I know that everything's going to work out okay. And that is a nice thing to know, that we don't have to worry as long as one of us has eyes on what's going on.
And we didn't have to work at it, which I found amazing. We just we did gel pretty much right away. And fortunately, in this show, Jess plays Max and I play Sandy, and we don't have a lot of scenes together. So it did sort of happenstancily, if that's a word, work out where we are able to. There's only a few times that there's really no official directorial eye on the piece because we're running back and forth.
And so how many people are involved in this entire production between your cast and creative? Because you have some, you had core co-writers. So how does that work when it's you're collaborating in with the pieces?
So there are seven actors in the piece. We have two writers. We have a scenic designer who is part of the core group. We also have, so that's that. And then there's people that started out that fell off that are still part of the group, if you will. So it's a pretty big family that we have, and I would say there's probably 10 or 11 of us that were that.
So you have like different little imprints kind of mm-hmm. left within the piece.
Right. It's actually been a really interesting collaboration and reaching many decisions by consensus, which is something I don't typically do.
So if is it one act, two acts? How long does the show run?
One act, about 90 minutes as it stands right now.
Oh, that's the one. That's Nicole's favorite special.
It's the sweet spot.
It really is like my favorite special. My favorite special. And would you say this is PG-13? And is there any?
Yeah, do you have some PG-13. Like, yeah.
Well, you're cursing up a storm, aren't you, Lisa Sheps? I know you well enough.
There's not much language in it, but there's some subject matter, the minor subject matter. We've been telling people it's family friendly, but it's more it could very well raise questions that younger kids might want to ask questions, and then adults need to be prepared to have those conversations.
I was gonna say, we like those starting conversations.
There's nothing that you would say, no, this is adults only. But it will. You do think. You would have to think.
Yeah. Afterwards.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. So you guys open tomorrow.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling?
I'm excited.
Suri's just smiling.
I'm excited.
Really big smile.
We feel great about this. It's pretty amazing, and we have a. As I mentioned earlier, we're made changes. I guess we pretty much froze the show yesterday.
Yep.
And so that's been that adds to the excitement, and I think we are totally ready.
Yeah. And Lisa, this is your first foray back onto the stage in a long time, isn't it?
In about 10 or 13 years.
And how does that feel?
Yeah, just great.
Really?
I'm having fun.
She's doing a great job.
I'm having fun.
Because I have to say, knowing you personally, I've seen you really happy and enjoying this. And I know, knowing you as long as I've known you, you've always wanted to do something like this. And to see it come to fruition after all this time is pretty awesome, Sauce.
Well, we did it. It is a challenge to both perform and have other major roles in the production, which has its good and bad things. It's you can't just concentrate on one thing. So. You have to be really good at a lot of things. And of course, I am. But Jess is also wearing the same kinds of hats I am. So we're excited. I'm excited to be on stage again. It's fun.
And Suri, is this normal hat for you on stage? Are you always normally performing? Or is this kind of a little bit out of your wheelhouse?
Well, I think it's the third piece that I have performed in English, which is a new thing for me. So I do performance art, and I did theater a lot when I was younger. But now it's just like memorizing lines in English is my new challenge. And this is my third one that I've been doing.
It's a challenge for me, too.
But it's like an extra challenge when you don't know the language. That's
well, I like to give you a jazz hand for that because I would not know. Your English is great, so... I would not have a clue, and I think that's awesome, Sauce. Well, we are running out of time, so I have to say goodbye to everyone, but I hope you guys will join us at backstage afterwards,
and I have to put my glasses on. I would like to thank Jess O'Rear, Suri Gurudev.
Close enough.
Close. Lisa Sheps. It's Ground Floor Theater Transom playing August 15th through the 31st. Ground Floor Theater, groundfloortheater.org.
And you know what? I was going to play a piece of music right here, but I'm going to play it when we... I'm going to wait and play it as we leave. Because we have run out of time. So remember, like us on the Facebooks and do all that stuff with the Twitters.
Twitters. Stitcher. All that jazz.
So if you're listening on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. If you're listening on the podcast, and you should, and you can get our podcast by going to iTunes or going to our website, offstageonair.com.
Yes, and just enter your little email in the box on the right-hand side, and we will get delivered to your mailbox each week. Lisa and Nicole just arrived. Yep.
So stand by for Austin Monitor News. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air.
I think we're doing all right in hindsight. It's amazing all that we've overcome, and I think we're gonna...
Well, the curtain has just come down on Surprise, the musical. This story of a group of people having many surprises in a family of magicians that harbor many cats.
Meow.
And possums.
So
we have left the backstage. We are downstairs next to the dumpsters. And joining us here is Jess O'Rear. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Lisa.
And Suri Gurudev.
Hello.
And of course, me and Nicole.
It's us. Sure.
It's us.
So
here we are backstage. And this is both of y'all's first time to be on the show. Both of the first time to be joining us backstage at the dumpsters. I'm sorry it's so hot out here.
No, but we couldn't
stay in the theater because they were busy resetting.
Just don't lean against the dumpster. You will burn yourself.
Yeah, it's very hot because, you know, why do they paint dumpsters black?
I don't know.
So here's where we learn a little bit more about you guys. So we don't really, we love that we talked about the show, Transom. Make sure you go see it at Ground Floor Theater. You can get tickets at groundfloortheater.org. We don't have the same rules in here. I can direct people to do whatever they want.
Yes. Where do they want to go do, Lisa?
They want to go see Transom.
Where?
At Ground Floor Theater. All of our shows are pay what you wish. So go to groundfloortheater.org/transom. Get your tickets and come see it. It's going
to
be awesome.
See the wonderful award-winning video Lisa made on how to locate the theater.
Oh, yes, you can do that too.
Yes, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So Suri, we talked a little bit before. You're not from around these here parts. Where are you from?
I am from Bogota, Colombia.
Bogota, Colombia, which I've been to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. I had a great time in Bogota.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been to Bogota. I was in Medellin. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in one other...
I guess now that you say that, I think
city.
I did
yeah.
know that.
So did you do theater in Bogota?
When I was very young, I was doing theater, like musicals produced mm-hmm. by in a devised way. Then I stopped, and then I started to do performance art. That was like about 10 years ago.
What's the nature of your performance art?
Well, you know, usually around the body and like violence and like how is it to be a third world country person, race, gender, my transness.
So are you doing like monologues as well as movement and music?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Also like pieces that are like kind of like obscure without like script and stuff because it's like this experimental kind of art.
So now were you doing the performance art in Colombia as well as here or both?
Both.
Or either. Okay.
Yeah, there and now I'm changing my subject here because now I'm here. So it's changing.
Oh.
So I had roommates. I had two Swedish roommates that were performance artists. They moved from Sweden to come do performance art. They were some of the most fascinating women I have ever lived with and still talk to them. And my roommate in college, her major was performance art. And it was when I learned what performance art was opposed to what I thought in my head performance art was, and I put in quotes. Yeah, it's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of jokes of how you compare theater and performance art. And it's like, we don't have scripts. We don't repeat stuff. Like,
right.
We don't have a stage, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like a funny thing to do both. It's, yeah.
So is it hard to go in between both? I mean,
yeah, it is. Because I was telling Jess, like, I repetition is like nothing that I am very used to. I get bored and like, okay, I need to like find this part. Because performance art is also like risky, and it's like, it's about your body. It's like so there's a lot of adrenaline, and then theater too, but it's just a different experience for sure.
So Zuri's gonna go off script tomorrow, you guys.
I would support that wholeheartedly. Maybe and not watch out, else, buckle but up. Siri, I would trust.
And so a lot of does a lot of your art centers around a trans identity or a non-binary identity?
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And so is do you feel it's part of your mission is to like show like let people know that trans people are around? Why the trans identity is part of your art?
I think my arch enemy is binarism, and so mm-hmm. it's just like trying to reflect on if we do need to be binary, like what is it to be a woman? What is it to be a man? Like just like deconstructing all those things through my body.
Cool.
Is my thing. Yeah.
And you worked with the ABT American Ballet Theater, no, or Joffrey this summer.
ABT was yeah.
ABT. Mm-hmm. That sounds fascinating. did you get to see any of the performances?
Did you get to meet Misty Copeland?
No.
Because that's all I want to know. OMG.
No, this is the Austenite version of it, and it's interesting.
But you're still in the process of getting degrees, correct? Are you still in school?
Yeah.
So you're working on master's, PhD?
PhD. Yes.
Okay, you're Food. Smart.
Well.
Yeah.
Yes. I wish there was a camera for the reaction that, yeah, well.
And Jess, you're also a PhD candidate.
Yes, we're in the same program.
Oh, so you're like, okay. They're smart people.
They're smart people, yes. I was just talking to somebody about somebody else who was in a PhD program, and I just love that the last thing you have to do is defend your dissertation.
Yes.
It just seems...
That's ridiculous.
It seems unscholastic to me.
I would, like, wear that proudly. Lisa and I would be like, yes, what up?
Well, it's a bizarre thing. It's a holdover from, you know, the sciences. And so mm-hmm. in the humanities, to have to defend your dissertation is basically just standing in front of the group of people that have read your dissertation. And they're pretty much saying to you, yeah, so like, why? And you're like, well, here's why. Because there's no, I don't have any evidence.
You can't
to
just say,
to
why
you.
Not?
I don't
That's
have a
what
hypothesis
I would say.
To prove. I just have these thoughts that I put out of my head. So. Yeah. It's weird.
So fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's just, it's a world that I do not know and never will, probably.
No, I don't think I will.
Yeah. So, Siri, when you graduate with your PhD, do you plan to stay here in Texas or are you going to go somewhere?
I want to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. Whatever
we
I can do.
We just call
that
badass
like
because
here.
We're all about the education. And
that's
the
what
arts.
I think,
yep.
For sure. So I'm going to apply here in the US in different places mm-hmm. and also Mexico and Canada and Colombia because my like performance art is very like specific. So mm-hmm. it's not that I can go on everywhere and like teach things. Okay. So we'll see how.
Awesome. So that's what you want to teach.
Yes.
Performance art.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I think that's
great. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, the Art Institute in Chicago has a really big performance art program.
That's true.
That's where my room is.
The Art Institute in Chicago is my favorite museum in the entire world.
It's my favorite museum in the entire world, too.
Entire world. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a project in Chicago next month, and I'm going to have a day off, and I'm going to
spend
it there.
I spend so many days...
Just
sad alone.
You grew up in New Jersey.
I sure did.
And when did you start? When did you attach your love of theater to yourself?
I mean, it's an interesting thing for me because I did theater all throughout high school. I did theater when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until I graduated college, got a job at a theater, that I really thought in my head was just like this thing I was doing to make money. Until I went to graduate school, and then. Realized looking back at the last 10 years of my life, I was like, oh, I'm a theater person. This is what I do.
I haven't left
which
this place.
I did not major in it in college, but it was the only
what was
thing
your major
I did.
In college?
So I went to a very small college at the bottom of Southern Maryland that was small enough and liberal artsy enough that I could make my own major.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So I basically created what you would probably call like cultural studies.
Okay.
And basically took the film and media studies major and the women and gender studies major and I put them together. So that's what I did. And then I graduated and worked in the offices of Dixon Place in New York City.
Okay.
And then realized that I...
As Where much is as I, Dixon Place? I'm not familiar.
Christie Street.
Okay.
Yeah, so downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having a good time working there, but I just realized, you know, I'm not getting to do anything on stage. I'm only in the back, you know, making the programs and running the Twitter, and that was lovely. But I realized that I really was missing actually making the art.
Jess just called it the Twitter.
Like, I know, I was about to say the same thing. Because Lisa
Thies and I get very excited about the Twitter. I was like, Twitter. I just caught that.
And what brought you to Texas?
Grad school at UT.
Okay.
Brought me to Texas. If you had told me, even, you know, 8 years ago that I would be in Texas, I would have laughed.
Did you get your master's here as well?
I did.
Okay. So, yeah.
Smart people.
What?
In them? The room with us.
It's relative. It's all relative.
I've been working with them for the past several months. I know. I feel humbled every single
Smart
day.
Smart people. No.
So I know that you're a PhD candidate as well, and we spoke the other day that you're interested in teaching as well.
I am.
But what do you, are you going to jump right into trying to do that? Are you going to try to perform at all or direct? I happen to know that you're a pretty damn good director.
I'm interested in all aspects of the this art form that we've mm-hmm. dedicated our lives to. I am, I think, rooted in Austin at this point.
Really? Okay, well, good. That's good news for me.
Yeah, I feel rooted. And so for me, it is...
I was wondering that, but you just really honestly said that with conviction, so...
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, it is about what kind of... I feel solid in terms of a community here right now, which is lovely, and it's taken me... being here for 5 years to really feel that way, but I do now. So now my question for myself is, what can I do with that? Where can I go now that I know that I've got this amazing group of artists and colleagues and friends and loved ones? So what kind of, now what can I do with that professionally?
Awesome. Now, do either of you, so as we're talking, both of you seem to have a, I want to say this the right way without ruffling any feathers, but it's sort of a highfalutin kind of feel in your theater. So, like, I don't see either of you guys doing any get your gun.
I don't want to say it without ruffling feathers,
that
but
was the greatest.
Y'all are so pretentious.
No, not pretentious.
Highfalutin.
I was trying to find the right way to say it, but no. My question is: Do you have any interest in doing like Neil Simon or Annie Get Your Gun or any of these things that aren't really
intellectual?
Yeah, however I want to say that.
It has been a dream of mine for a long time, mm-hmm. and one of our cast members, Adrian Clark, and I have actually been talking about this a lot. It has always been a dream of mine to do musicals, all trans cast musicals.
Right.
And just you know, nothing, not new pieces, but an all trans Annie Get Your Gun,
right?
An all trans
Little very Shop much Horrors. Like the Pride Plays did with Our Town this year.
I was about to say similar to the Pride Plays this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So personally, I that is actually something that
love
I am interested
idea.
In.
Yeah.
Not really from a perspective of feeling like we need that for legitimacy, but just because I personally would like to do it.
Yeah. I was like, you want to be in it too. I get it.
Cast me as Seymour Krelborn and you will make my dreams come true.
You know what? You would actually be an awesome Seymour Krelborn. Trans or not. That's the saying that that would be awesome. What are you
saying? I'm not interested at all.
Great.
To be honest, just because the canon here is so different from the one that I have. You know?
Uh-huh.
Like, from South America, we have completely different theater history, completely different things that we're, like, looking for. And I am not very, like, interested in reinforcing the canon in general.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm more into, like, creating new pieces and devising pieces and stuff, but not recreating, although I respect and I think that's important and beautiful. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, and please don't get me wrong. I was not trying to be the way I was when I said that.
Oh no, you're fine. No, you're totally fine.
You
but
know
I quit.
What? I would say, if we all liked and all wanted to do the exact same thing, there wouldn't be something for everyone.
Totally.
And so it's beautiful that there are shows. Lisa and I do not agree on a lot of the same theater, and then we do. So that's the beauty of it. That means there's really something out there. That means there's always something out there for everyone.
Right. And I will be there like crying, seeing you like on stage.
And same. Exactly.
yeah.
You have a lifelong fan in me, Siri.
Likewise. Same. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for coming with us backstage. Once again, you got to go see Transom at Ground Floor Theater. It opens tomorrow night, the 15th of August, plays through the 31st.
Where do you get information? Or
at groundfloortheater.org is all the information. There is a reception on Friday. There is a ASL interpreted performance on the 22nd. So please come and see us. That's all there is to say about that.
Voila.
Okay.
Au
revoir. Thank you.
Au revoir. All right, you know, yeah, see ya. Adios. Bye. You can say something in a second.
Thank you.